Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, when it comes to managing our medications, it can be complicated and a bit overwhelming, and even more so as we age. And we're going to talk with our next guests about the role pharmacists can play in helping you keep on top of your medications. With us, Helene McDowell. Helene, the Senior Manager of Pharmacy Quality and Community Outreach with the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin. Helene, welcome. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, Larry. Thank you so much for having us.
Matt Hooper, our other guest, a pharmacist with the Fitchburg Family Pharmacy. And Matt, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Larry. I really appreciate being on today.
Well, it's great to have you. What questions, as you listen to these two experts, I hope you'll join in. What questions do you have about managing your medications? Has your pharmacist helped you with your questions? I'd love to have you part of the conversation. Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Helene, let's just turn to you first. There's something called medication therapy management. Talk about what that is and how it came, that program came about.
So medication therapy management services is really a global term used in pharmacy practice to look at, you know, all of the medications that a patient takes regarding specific conditions, going through them, educating the patient about why they're taking it, when they're taking it, and also troubleshooting for any potential problems. You know, when physicians prescribe a medication, they may not be aware of all of the potential, you know, contraindications between medicines. So the pharmacist goes through everything, answers patients' questions, makes sure they understand why, and then provides long-term follow-up, for especially for chronic diseases, and then also provides a very clear communication pathway between the pharmacist and the primary care team.
The program, and is this, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Larry.
I was just going to ask you how that program, you know, first came about or why it came about, and I think you were probably going to respond right then.
So the Dane County Comprehensive Medication Review Program came about as a result of a partnership between the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin and United Way, and really looking at factors that influence when someone's lifestyle becomes threatened, their independence. So one of the things that was identified by this coalition that was convened by United Way and PSW was if someone has an adverse drug event from taking too many medications or having a fall, their lifestyle changes, meaning that they're going to likely need additional support, or perhaps they're no longer able to live independently. So one way to impact adverse drug events and falls is to have a comprehensive medication review program where pharmacists are connected with patients at a higher risk. Some of the risk factors that are really primary to those adverse events are the number of medications that you take, your household environment, what's around you that could risk a fall, and then age, and then your chronic conditions that we manage, and how much more complex they get as a person ages.
Matt, let me turn to you for a second here. How long have you been participating in this program?
Oh, great question, Larry. So I'm a relatively new pharmacist. I graduated pharmacy school in 2019, and I've been conducting these medication therapy management reviews since I've gotten out of school, and even a little bit before. Helene and I started working together. We were going to work together before this pandemic happened. But, that kind of got shut down. So then we started working together officially here at the end of July, where we have found new ways to meet with patients using technology, either as telehealth or over the phone. And it's really been a great experience so far, talking with these patients and giving them the opportunity to ask me questions about their medications.
Yeah. What kinds of problems have you seen as you talked with them?
It's quite the range. You know, it goes from over-the-counter interactions with prescription medications all the way to inhaler technique, injection technique, and, you know, even going as far as just not taking the medications and finding out what the barriers are to that. You know, is it a cost issue? Is it can't remember to take them? Do you need help sorting out the medications and pill packs? I mean, the list can really go on. And I think that's what makes the program so unique is that every patient that we talk with, there's always something that I think we can help optimize in their care. And it's always just a little bit different for each person.
Yeah. I was looking online at the Wisconsin Pharmacy Quality Collaborative website, and there was a comment from someone, a patient, who said he'd worked in the medical field for many years, thought he knew how to take his own medication and how to take it properly, and learned that he was not taking it properly, and was actually shocked to find out that he was taking his medications incorrectly for years and is now taking his cholesterol medication correctly, and his high blood pressure is under control, and only because he had a medication review with a pharmacist.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's what we like to hear.
That's really something. Well, you can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Matt could probably also take some medication questions, probably not insurance questions, but because that's a whole other ball of wax. Helene, how does someone schedule a session, by the way?
I'll answer that in one sec. Could I just add one thing to the comment that you and Matt just made?
Sure, you bet.
So I think one of the most extraordinary pieces of this program is really how it addresses the social determinants of health and health literacy. I think the example you just gave is a really good example. You know, regardless of education or income or status, socioeconomic status, you know, people don't necessarily have a high health literacy understanding of everything. And the value add of having an hour, up to an hour, and with a pharmacist. I mean, think about it. When was the last time you had an hour with any kind of provider? Is an amazing opportunity for folks to really boost their health literacy and understand some of those things that may be a barrier for them to managing their health better in the long term and having improved quality of life and health outcomes.
So these actually go up to an hour.
Yeah. So through our program, you know, it really just depends on the patient and the needs and the number of medications to be reviewed. So when we schedule them, we schedule an hour with the pharmacist. I would say on average, having worked with this program for 4 years or so now, on average, the length of a medication review is about 45 minutes. Sometimes they can go as long as an hour and a half. We usually cut it off at an hour and a half just out of respect for other folks that are waiting to get their medication review. But on average, about 45 minutes.
Yeah. And then the scheduling, how does one schedule a session?
So for our program in Dane County, which is a unique program that's partially funded by United Way and then also by public health, the state public health, we were doing them in the community in person prior to COVID, but now we do it via telehealth with pharmacists, as Matt said. So if someone, one of your listeners is in Dane County and interested in participating in a medication review, they certainly can get a hold of me at the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin, and then we can figure out the best path to get them hooked up to one of our scheduled events. Our events are hosted by different community partners around Madison. As I said before, we were in person in the community centers, but now we're doing it over telehealth. So if they call me, then we'll figure out how to plug them into one of our existing medication reviews that we've got scheduled. In terms of listeners outside of Dane County, the best thing that we would recommend is really to, you know, ask your pharmacist, how do they schedule a medication review? Is it possible to schedule a medication review? You know, it's not possible for someone to, like, walk up to the counter and say, hey, pharmacist, can you spend an hour with me right now? But the first place, you know, to start is to ask their pharmacist, you know, is this a service that you provide, and can I, would it be possible for me to schedule a time with you to sit down and go through all my medications with you? One thing to note that is, if someone is, you know, as you said, payment is complicated, but if someone is a Medicaid recipient on medical assistance in the state of Wisconsin, Medicaid does pay for this service, so someone can get it at no cost to themselves if they're on Medicaid.
Well, that is good news indeed, because, I mean, an hour, hour and a half of anyone, any professional's time is, that's typically would be, could be a costly event, and so there is insurance to kind of cover through Medicaid that, correct?
Correct.
Well,
in the state of Wisconsin.
But perhaps not everywhere.
But perhaps not everywhere. I wouldn't want to speak to other states' programs. Medicaid is different. Medicaid benefits are different across states.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we've got a lot more to talk about here with our two guests. Helene McDowell is one of our guests, Senior Manager of Pharmacy Quality and Community Outreach with the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin. Matt Hoopert, a pharmacist with the Fitchburg Family Pharmacy. It's great to have both of them with us, and we're going to continue our discussion about medication management. First, we're going to take a look at the news, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with our guests, and they'll be with us right up till 12:30. So you stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Taking a look at medication management with our guest today on the show, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for spending some of your time with us on the Ideas Network. Great to have you along. With us are Matt Hoopert, a pharmacist with Fitchburg Family Pharmacy, and Helene McDowell. Helene is the Senior Manager of Pharmacy Quality and Community Outreach with the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin. So what problems are you having managing your medications? You have a question about a medication. Love to hear from you. You can reach us at 800-642-1234 or call us at 800-642-1234. Email at ideas@wpr.org, just to repeat. Oh, my goodness. Annalisa in Green Bay has a question for you. Annalise?
Yeah, good morning. Several months ago on 60 Minutes, they had a segment on probiotics. And what I got out of it was that there are probiotics that are developed scientifically for specific purposes medically, but that these general probiotics that you buy over the counter that have been kind of widely popular, I think, that they're basically useless. And so I just wondered what the pharmacists thought about that.
Hmm. Matt, you want to comment?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I get this question a lot from people that are started on antibiotics, you know, for sinus infection or skin disease or something. And, you know, I do counsel them and say, if you, you know, like yogurt or eat a lot of yogurt in your daily diet, that can get you quite a bit of good bacteria to replace after taking an antibiotic. If you're not a big fan of yogurt and, you know, you don't really get that in regularly, then I would say, you know, in that case, it might be a good choice to try a probiotic just to help replenish that good bacteria. So there's definitely different ways to approach it depending on the person, and it'll come down to that specific person's needs after seeing someone and being diagnosed with an antibiotic prescription.
Yeah. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. As I was listening to you talk, Helene, I was listening to Matt comment, and I began to wonder about these meetings, these medication management meetings, and somebody like Matt is pretty, you know, has some good responses. But from the point of view of the person with the medications, what kinds of things should that person, he or she, do to prepare themselves for talking about medication management?
That's a great question, Larry. So when we're working with our community partners who do the outreach to get folks to come in to meet with the pharmacist, you know, we always say, tell the patient, make sure to bring all of your prescription medicines, any over-the-counter medication that you take, any supplements that you take. And then also, if they're able, take some time to think about some questions that they may have to ask the pharmacist so that they can really utilize that time with the pharmacist optimally. But the most absolute, most important thing is to have the medications in front of them and the over-the-counters and supplements in front of them, so that the, including inhalers, so that the pharmacist can really go through them with each one with them and make sure that any kind of concern or question is being addressed.
Yeah, and I would think that those questions, you know, I can remember times when I left the doctor's office, for example, and thought, oh, I forgot to ask that question.
Indeed.
And writing them, I wished I'd written it down, and probably writing down those questions that come to mind isn't a bad idea.
Well, and sometimes, too, as you're gathering things and you're thinking about what's going to happen, that helps you think about questions, too. So
yeah.
We strongly encourage folks to take a few minutes and write things down so that they feel like, oh, yeah, I need to make sure I get that sorted.
Yeah. Darla in Ridgeland, we'll go to you next. Hi, Darla.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I help set up the meds for my mom. She has Parkinson's, and it seems like the carbidopa levodopa, the 2500 milligram, is always, if we give her one whole tablet, sometimes she'll go, the threshold is where the she has real dyskinesias, and then if we don't give her enough, then you know, she has the pill rolling symptoms of being under medicated. Is there any other, I mean, other than dosing half tablets, you know, we dose half tablet four times a day, but that's really not enough carbidopa levodopa. Any suggestions? He also takes pramipexol with that.
Hmm. Well, Matt, what do you think?
I mean, you know, this is definitely something that we would collaborate with the primary physician and the rest of the healthcare team if we were making changes. So in this specific scenario, I guess it would kind of depend on the carbidopa levodopa. I know there is an extended release version and there's an immediate release version. And a lot of patients that we package for will have both regimens in on their list that we package for. And it just kind of seems like we have to get the timing down for when the extended release gives up and the immediate release can kick in to kind of help with that, those breakthrough dyskinesias. So, this would be a great question for the pharmacist that you get the medications from and having them coordinate with your primary care provider to say, hey, you know, these are the things that we're seeing. Is there some sort of change that we can make to start optimizing this medication regimen?
Yeah, that makes good sense. And Helene, as I was listening to Darla, I was thinking, I wonder, you know, here's Darla with a parent. When you have these meetings, is it ever the case that, let's say, the child is with the parent or the older child is with the parent to sort of help facilitate?
Absolutely, Larry. Especially when we were in the community, we had a lot of patient caregiver dyads that would come in for a med review, often an adult child caring for an elderly parent. And so especially if there was some cognitive shortcomings with the older adult, the adult child was managing all of the medications, and they would ask the questions. Our pharmacists are so wonderful, and I can't stress this enough, what an important role that pharmacists play in healthcare and primary care, and just the educational pieces and just that management and connecting back with primary care. And the pharmacists that volunteer for our program, they're just outstanding. They're not only committed to their craft and their expertise, but they're just committed to public health and as a whole. So the pharmacists, both the older adult and the adult caregiver as well. It's really amazing to see.
Yeah, it is indeed. And I'm just thinking about, I have a friend who was a pharmacist and remembering her going to pharmacy school and what she had to go through in terms of learning. And then there's the exam that you have to take at the end. She passed the exam fine and everything. But there is a lot of information, Matt, that a pharmacist has to take in before. And you've only been out for a few years now, or a year or two, so that's probably something that you remember very well, the studying.
Yes, lots of studying, lots of exams, which, you know, we get asked questions all the time. And we got to be prepared to answer those questions or be prepared to look them up. And I think that's what school really has prepared myself for. And not only can you do pharmacy school after, starting up your undergraduate program, you can also apply for pharmacy residencies. And there's a wide range of these residencies to hone your skills on certain areas of pharmacy, for example, hospital pharmacy versus community pharmacy versus maybe long-term care pharmacy. And that's what I opted to do after pharmacy school, is to do 1 year of residency so I could learn as much as I could.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Darla, thank you again for calling. I want to give George and LaCrosse a chance to join in. George, hi, thank you for calling.
Well, good afternoon. I just really called in to help that one lady that called in about probiotics.
Yeah.
I've been in that business since they were invented. If you remember lactobacillus 20 years ago, that's all we had. So there's many different strains. And the key is when you grab that bottle, whether it's pills or gummies or whatever, you have to look for live, guaranteed live, like 100 trillion CFUs per gram. Okay? And if they're using prebiotics, they don't work at all because they're dead. You just need the live ones, and there's some for sleep, and there's some for activity, whatever you need. Lots of trials on humans in Europe that shows the efficacy of certain ones, and hundreds of studies in the United States on monogastric baby calves and hogs, which are, most similar to our gut tract. So that's definitely a way to go. I wouldn't start my day without them for a growly stomach. About what I got to say for that lady.
George, thank you for calling. Matt, maybe a comment?
Yeah, you know, George, this is a great point here that I didn't make earlier. We usually recommend, if we use probiotics for a patient, if it's appropriate for them, we do recommend that they grab the probiotics that we store in our fridge, the fridge, to keep those, like George was saying, the live probiotics available for your gut versus the ones that are generally stored outside of the fridge.
So,
great comment by George there.
Thank you, George, for calling. Appreciate it. Well, Mary in Neenah, we'll turn to you next. Hi, Mary.
Hello. My father gets a newsletter that has recalls for drugs on it. And most recently, it had a drug that I take, but not at the same dosage. What I'm wondering is, do pharmacies get notified of recalls, and do they notify patients?
Mary, great question. Pharmacies do get notified of recalls. Basically, the second that they come out from the FDA, there are different versions of recalls, but we, no matter what the recall is, at least at our pharmacy, we take them very seriously. So first we go to our shelf and take that medication, and generally it's from a specific manufacturer. We take that medication off the shelf so we don't give it out to anyone. And then what we do is we start looking at people that we might have given it to in the past month or two, and we do reach out to those patients to let them know about the recall and what information there is about it, that being, you know, a wrong ingredient or a different dose than what's on the bottle. It can vary for sure, but we do reach out to those patients to make sure that we're giving them safe and effective medications.
Oh, there we go. Mary, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. I was thinking about this. I don't know, some time back I had my own pharmacy contact me via an email and saying, well, you haven't had this shot. And I thought, no, I thought I had. And so anyway, I talked some more with the pharmacist and said, well, you had the original shot, but you need another series, a couple of shots for this. And then I wondered how the person knew. But there are databases as well, apparently, that show that you could go to as a pharmacist, Matt, that would show your own clients what their records are relating to specific kinds of medications. Are there not, or am I just confusing this all up?
No. You're right on track here. So what we look at is the Wisconsin Immunization Registry. And I think that's because I've heard this exact scenario quite a few times now. Wisconsin is very progressive in many ways in healthcare, and this is one of them. Not every state has this registry where if you are living in Wisconsin, we will update this registry, and I mean we as healthcare professionals, if we provide a vaccine, that be the flu vaccine, the zoster vaccine, or pneumococcal, for example. And that's a way that we can provide this information, disseminate the information across the state in case someone does move or does end up, you know, in a hospital that's different than they're used to. So we do use this information, and we check these records to ensure that we're not providing too many vaccines, but we are providing enough vaccine for patients that need them.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Helene, somebody else was wondering about the your organization, the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin, and its role and what all you do.
So we are the member organization for pharmacy practice in the state of Wisconsin. We represent pharmacists, pharmacy techs, in all manner of education related to the profession and advancing pharmacy practice, enabling pharmacists to operate at the top of their license. We also have a lobbyist on staff that works to pass pharmacy legislation, again, to move pharmacy practice forward and help to reduce some of the challenges that pharmacists face in their practices. I would say the biggest one is the what we call provider status, in that pharmacists aren't considered providers by payers, meaning that they don't have a special, like when a doctor does something for a patient, there's a special code that they can use to bill for that service, and pharmacists don't have that ability to do that. So from a legislative process perspective, a lot of what PSW does is really advocate for provider status and moving pharmacy practice forward.
Yeah. And Matt, I know a lot of professions, and I assume it's the same for you, there's a need for not re-education, but education, more education for you or any pharmacist as time goes on and things change.
Yeah.
Talk about that for a minute.
So
go ahead, Eileen.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I was just going to say PSW, or Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin, is their mission is, or their statement, I should say, is one voice, one vision. And this is a great place for us to get this continuing education. We get large diversity in how we work with our patients. And this is just an awesome organization that brings all those things together so that we can continue to learn from each other and provide the best care for our patients.
Yeah, it's I would imagine that would be very important. Tim and Appleton, you have a quick comment.
Yeah, hi. I took that ranitidine for heartburn for quite a few years, probably 10 years of my life, you know, on and off. And I see, you know, now it's been taken off the shelf because it can cause cancer. Knock on wood, you know, I haven't had cancer, but should I worry about it in the future? Does anybody know, you know?
What would your advice be, Matt, to somebody like Tim?
Yeah, so Tim, it was taken off the shelf recently, specifically from a drug recall standpoint. So the medication that you took prior to that, it being taken off the shelf, if it wasn't at least, you know, in the last year or so, it likely went under strict review by the FDA to make sure that the medication was appropriate. So that's why we're seeing it's not there anymore. There are other alternatives that you can take as well. I would argue that the risk of that causing cancer is extremely low. And my advice would be to, if you need help with heartburn, is to try another version of the medication that a pharmacist could help you pick out.
Yeah. So that's a little bit of a relief for you there, Tim. And I tell you what, it's been great talking with both of you. I really appreciate it. I hope we have a chance to do this again, Helene and Matt. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Larry.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry. I really appreciate it.
Helene McDowell is with the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin. Matt Hoopert, pharmacist with the Fitchburg Family Pharmacy. Fun and interesting talking with them. And it's always fun to have you join in. I appreciate it very much. Tomorrow we'll talk with Dan Small about the 2020 deer hunt. But in the meantime, there's lots more in store on the Ideas Network. Stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller.